Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Happy Masters Day.
Yes, sir.
One to you. Golf is going. And happy Thursday to all you fine folks out there. Let's get going on and in the loop Thursday. John Lopez, Reginald Attitude, and Figgy Fig hanging out with you. On the day, we will get you some buy or sell later in the day. And then also another day in which we are giving away tickets to see Brian Regan, if you are so inclined. That'll happen in a 1 o'clock hour for when he comes into town in December to the Bayou Music Center. So, yeah, we'll do that later on in the show. All those things. And we'll get going right now. Mm-hmm. Lopez, how you feeling today?
I'm feeling fantastic.
And I know you are, because it's the Masters.
Oh, my God. That is not going to be on my list. Spoiler alert. I watch golf every week, pretty much, and this is like the Super Bowl. I'm watching it right now on my screen here.
Me too.
Well, on my personal computer screen.
Okay. Where's our guy Cam Smith?
Cam Smith, even through seven. Cam Smith.
We got to get a sounder.
He's hitting the ball the other way.
Cam Smith.
All right. Hey, I was talking about the other Cam Smith. What you talking about? The Astros Cam Smith.
More people know the other Cam Smith, the golfer Cam Smith.
By the way, Sean, can you tap back in for me for a second?
Yeah. What's up?
Did you hear this argument or debate that happened yesterday during Confessions? In talking about Cam Smith, Astros right fielder, John made the realization that, oh yeah, that's right, there is the Australian golfer, mm-hmm. Cam Smith, and I think I'll let you kind of give off your take
more
here.
More people around the world and in this country are familiar with him than are Cam Smith.
I'm not. I'm more familiar. I don't know who Cam Smith, the golfer, is.
Really?
Yeah, no.
He won the British Open, finished second in the Masters.
That wasn't in America. I only pay attention to the ones that are
second,
in America.
Masters second a couple of years
yeah,
ago?
Yeah, I just, yeah. I mean, I Cam Smith, the Astros won. So your contention that.
No, I think it's actually.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
You're probably right.
The question I asked was, at what point does baseball Cam Smith surpass golf Cam? Like, what is he, rookie
of the
year?
See, I'm a horrible person to ask because he's already surpassed him.
Fair enough. Yeah, you met his family and everything. Like, this is different. Okay.
So I don't have a great answer to that because that's my Cam Smith, number 11 for the Astros, is already at the forefront.
But number one in your heart. I see you.
Yeah.
I feel you.
But it's a great day. Yeah. It's a great day.
Yeah, it's a great day.
Next 4 days.
Very good. We'll try and keep you updated as to what's happening in the Masters for those who are inclined, which it seems like is everybody if you care about a ball bouncing or, you know, sliding or a puck or something. If you care about sports, the Masters seems to be on your radar. All right, what's also on your radar, speaking of Cam Smith, this happened yesterday.
Now back in there for the second straight game. And he hits the ball to right field for a base hit. That'll score Caratini. Myers going first to third. Astros lead 2-0. Cam Smith, back-to-back games with an RBI now, too, in his big league career.
There you go. Building that two RBI for Cam Smith.
Other Cam Smith highlight.
Yeah, there you go. A few more of those, and you're going to be number one in the world, baby. Keep going.
Take that, Cam Smith, Aussie.
Yeah, take that, mullet Cam Smith.
Where you going right now, you'll be on the fries.
Let's go. But you had a first inning in which you stacked a few of those singles together, and you got some runs. A little bit of offense came together.
Yeah.
I don't know how you rate the offense, because it didn't happen a ton of times, and of course, free bases, free passes were what helped you get a lot of those runs on the board, because you were able to get those singles with runners in scoring position because they got on base. But then the pen came back around and gave it away. I'm going to be honest with you, Lopez, right up front.
Mm-hmm.
I found it hard to lock in on this game.
Because it was so bad?
No. I don't know. I feel like it's probably a mixture of the conversation we had a day or two ago about, like, are you having fun watching the Astros?
Yes.
And, like, I'm not having as much fun. And then also, I think just all the things happening yesterday, and then to take it away from that, I had some other things I was doing on the computer at the same time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I found it hard to lock in. How was it for you, especially seeing that it felt like early on, oh, wow, the offense is here.
I was actually more locked in for some strange reason.
Well, to some degree, the offense is here.
At the end, because it was like watching a car crash. It really was... And that was my takeaway, with this game. It we're all going to say it's early, but this was not an it's early type of game. And let me explain.
I think I agree, actually.
Yeah, this was not an it's early kind of game, because one thing that's certain about this team, I think the vast majority of people would say it's certain about this team. This ain't your 2017, 2021, 2022 Astros. They are not equipped to just wet themselves in a game like this, no matter what time of the season.
So they ain't going to flip a switch?
Well, okay. Now, they flipped a switch last year, right?
Sure did.
That was a different team.
They flipped that switch in September.
That was a different, entirely different team. Better pitching, better hitting.
They were fumbling around in the dark before they found that switch.
Yeah, they were.
It was September, and it was rolling.
Well, let me ask you about this. Can this team do that? Can this team fall? What were they at one point? 10 games back? 11 games back?
Oh, is it possible that they actually fall behind, or are you
flip a switch? Can this team flip a switch?
Is Alex Bregman on this team?
No.
No, I don't think so.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I don't...
Well, the tough thing about that is there's still a lot of juice offensively that this team is not tapped into, though.
Mm-hmm.
And then the starting pitching is really good, or has been pretty good at the very least, at the top end, with Hayden Wesneski as well, even if Renel Blanco and Spencer Urquidy have had, a little bit of ups and downs for themselves. Like, you've had some good starting pitching, you've had good offense, your infield defense, which is what you were looking for, has been pretty damn good outside of, like, Brent Rogers, oddly enough, having some weird throws from time to time. Like, I think that there's situations where, and I mean, we saw this, like, we had this in our minds that there's situations where you could be good, but I don't think, I think I would go with no just based off of the idea that, in general, coming back from that deep of a hole is not something that I should assume happens multiple times.
Even with great teams.
But this feels like a team that should not be far off from the type of team that they were last year. So in that vein, I would say yes. I just don't want to test it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to try and do that again.
And that was my reasoning for this is not an it's early type of game, because this one's going to leave a mark. This one's going to hurt. I mean, Hunter Brown, nails. Absolute nails. Was it 6 innings? And then just a pathetic performance out of the bullpen. You know, Luis Contreras comes in. He goes boom, 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 gets a couple of outs. And you're thinking, all right. And then all of a sudden, you know, gave up the salami. Okert retired, came in and gave up the grand slam to Arozarena. And then Brian Abreu. Where did that come from?
That's the thing that's kind of dicey or scary. Mm-hmm. And you tell me if I'm wrong here. Like, at least you would have hoped that you have with Hader and Abreu, you have the backstops that you feel like can get things done when you need it, especially in a park that's not, you know, hitter friendly, and for a Mariners team that's not particularly great at hitting. But you issue a couple of walks, like, you lose your command, and it makes me wonder, like, how many guys do you feel great about in high leverage situations on the back end? Because, like, you in theory you had two, but I got questions about Brian Abreu if you are in those circumstances where you need him in the ninth, like you had to.
Yeah, last night.
Hader obviously has had those issues, particularly in, like, save situations, which those are situations where you really want him to be nails, right? I think that could be a real impediment to doing the things that you would hope an Astros team capable of doing.
Well, and that's the other part of why, you know, it's not an it's early game to me. There is no wiggle room. We all talk about margins. Sometimes it's used too much. But there is none at the back end of this rotation. And, you know, as much as Ryan Pressly you know, could have, you know, been upset or whatever it was, and he's not here anymore. Boy, that was a luxury. That was a luxury to have. And now you've got Abreu and Hader. Hader's already gone two innings, you know, and you're going to put some more pressure on Abreu. And then what? You know, you've got the bullpen. You have an injury in the bullpen already. You've got some arms that are maybe a little bit questionable. There's that. The offense, maybe that's gonna really spark and get on a real tear. But there are players that are just not performing at that much at a very high level. Previous Astros teams could kind of shrug this loss off, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This one cannot.
No, because, I mean, this is why spring training was so intriguing, is mm-hmm. because you're kind of charting a new path in some ways, right? You're dealing with, oh, wow, I realized before I said it, this is going to be such a dorky thing to say. Mm-hmm. Rock with me here. You're dealing almost with a little bit of a ship of Theseus type situation, right? Mm-hmm. If you're not familiar, it is kind of thought experiment of...
First of all, you're throwing too many big words at me. Okay, now, because I don't understand them, I'm going to take them as disrespect.
Fair. I tried to get away from the drop by disclaiming it on the front end. Didn't get it. But, like, it's a thought experiment of, all right, if you have a ship and you keep changing the parts on the ship, at what point
is it still the same ship?
Yeah, at what point is it still the same ship, or at what point is it just a new ship?
Yeah.
And you're kind of getting there with this Astros team where, you know, so many of the pieces and the parts you've changed over time, mm-hmm. which is natural for, like, a team. But how much of this can you also draw through as that same lifeblood mm-hmm. of a team? And it feels like you're trying to figure out if this is that similar kind of Astros team as before, or mm-hmm. if this is a whole new team that has to chart its path.
Yeah.
And I'm leaning towards the latter.
That's a really good analogy there.
Thank you.
It really is. Sorry if it confused some people.
I hope that somebody learned something at least.
The ship of Theseus is the term.
Sound and, like be an annoying, annoyingly smart person to your friends now.
Just because here's the thing. Theseus. If you still have Altuve and Yordan and Fromber, are you still the Astros if the other parts have changed, is what you're saying?
That's the question. And, I mean, obviously you're still the Astros, but, like...
Well, those Astros.
How close are you to that portion or that kind of Astros team?
Yeah.
And I don't know that I feel comfortable with them, like, if they were to get in a hole. Again, mm-hmm. we would do the typical disclaiming. It is indeed early, and I was moderately encouraged that you saw that they could stack some hits, mm-hmm. right? Because that was something that wasn't even happening, stacking hits. They still need extra base hits in this. And
they
know,
tacked on a run late, and you're thinking, all right, well, that was trouble, but maybe they'll still be able to pull this out.
Right.
And then no. Abreu. What's the deal with this city and the last name Abreu?
Yeah. Although, do you feel like Christian Walker is exercising some of that with his defense at first? Because he has been phenomenal mm-hmm. defensively at first.
He saved a lot of plays.
Like, when was the last time you had that level defense at first?
Well, I said it coming in. I mean, that's going to be one of the bigger parts. Now, we need his bat.
Certainly.
But that's going to be one of the bigger parts of making the replacement and making do, so to speak, with this club and some of the losses that you have.
But, all right. So we were talking about the pen. Can we talk? Hear from Espada. I want to hear if you're agreeing with his perspective. This is Espada 2 talking about Oker and Abreu's performance.
No, really trying to stay away from four outs. Game 10. You know, really trying game. You know, just trying to be careful. I have a lot of confidence in those guys, and Oker has been really good for us since the beginning of spring. So. Gave Abreu the ball with, you know, had two runs in the ninth. It's a pretty good spot for him, but we just couldn't close the deal.
Kind of makes you want to run through a wall, doesn't it?
No, not particularly. From the 713, why no Van Way or Van Wy?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Van Wy? Yeah, last night. He's a closer. He can close, do setup. Why aren't they using him? I mean, there's going to be some figuring out of this pen. How much belief do you have? Because, I mean, some managers have that reputation of just knowing the right moves to make mm-hmm. in the pen. Like, especially in a situation now where I don't know that you have absolutes when it comes to I select him and I put him in this particular situation and he does the job.
Mm-hmm.
How confident are you in Espada's ability to kind of make those selections in the pen? Because that's one of the big things that a manager does, is deciding when and which arms to utilize on the mound, and that it feels like that's going to become a bigger deal this season for the Astros.
I think it could, so I'm not going to give them a total pass here, but I think I'm not going to focus in on that too much because they've been pretty good. And his decision making has been pretty good.
And that's that was ultimately the question. So yeah. you feel pretty confident, relatively confident.
But last night was a bad day.
Certainly,
it was a bad day for him. It was a bad day for the pitching coach. It was obviously a bad day for the relievers. And I think more than that, it was just a night where you saw some more red flags here. I think they're so thin. Every MLB team is trying to bolster their bullpen. Every single one of them.
Certainly,
but they're real thin. I think, and especially when you go into 7, 8, 9. I mean, it's 8-9 right now, and when Hader's not around, it's 9, and that's it.
Yeah, and the thing that really got me was the issuing walks.
Yes.
Right? Like, if maybe you're getting hit, or actually, is it better if you're issuing walks than if you're getting hit particularly? Like, either way, the result isn't really good.
Not when you give up a grand slam.
Yeah, that's fair enough. So, 5-7 Astros through 12 games at this point. Still hoping that they try and find themselves. And, yeah, 281, fair enough. Like, I don't feel Espada as a real rally the guys kind of coach.
That's what I said.
Like, he's very much, you know, he's going to trust his guys and believe them to figure it out. Maybe that's where you'll feel the impact of losing Alex Bregman is who are the guys on the team that mm-hmm. get them to that space. So from the 979, known confidence in Joe's decisions, but it's not all in him. He was given a very poor quality bullpen to work with. And that's where you're at right now. Hopefully, like, Van Wy will, like, add into that. And it, depending on where they are, like, that's way down the line. But you'll see what it looks like maybe at the trade deadline. And then also, you know, hopefully if there's reinforcements that come back, we're still looking for the return to health for some folks. Like, mm-hmm. Arrigetti, we know, is not actually getting surgery. So they'll revisit that in a couple of weeks and see if that broken thumb is in a better place. And then Lance McCullers, like, that's still a thing where hopefully early portions of next month you get another starting pitcher in, and then you can kind of have Gusto back in his place. He is going to be stretched out, mind you, Ryan Gusto, to be the starter, I believe. And I forget it as soon as I want to go to it. But later on in the week when you face off against the Angels, so you'll have the day off today, and the Astros are back at it on Friday. Today's Thursday, Reginald. on Friday against the Angels at Daikin Park, 3-3 road trip, and it doesn't feel 500. I'm gonna be completely honest. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, there was also another team playing yesterday. It was the Rockets, but they decided to sit their guys. So it was the Stay Ready Rockets, and they competed with the Clippers. Was them competing meaningful, or was it just a fun story? 713-572-4610. We'll do it next.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax. For a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Atatula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, you are in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez alongside me. I'm Reginald Atatula. Figgy Fig, making this sound good on a Thursday. Hope you're having a good Thursday to this point. We're going to try and have some fun with you as the Masters are going. Do you have the leaderboard up? Because I know you do.
You actually don't? I switched computers.
We caught him slipping. We caught him lacking.
I switched computers.
He not tapping.
I'll have it in less than a minute.
Yeah, all right.
He's one of those fans.
Yeah, casual.
Yeah, casual.
That's such a funny, like pejorative that to be levied now.
It's what a casual.
You casual.
Yeah, you casual. Like, you ain't in these sticks. You ain't in these streets.
Aaron Ray, 4 under through eight.
Who?
Aaron Ray. Stephen Yeager is second.
Where are you from? Neiman.
Scotty's already two under. Scotty Scheffler is already two under. He's right up there.
Shout out to Scotty out there. All right. We'll keep you up to date what's happening with round one of the Masters as we go. All right. But yesterday, we were talking about this before the Rockets, you know, tipped off or before they, you know, ended up playing against the Clippers out there in L.A. in Inglewood. And one of the things we asked is, like, how do you go about, you know, handling these final three
games play it out?
Of the seasons now that you are locked into the two seeds, you're locked into the playoffs, there's nothing really to, you know, jockey for you. And it seems like the answer was pretty clear from Ime Udoka, at least when he put him on the court. You know, he did say that they, you know, they are cognizant about Russ or what have you. But you looked at the court, and I think you had four of your starters were not playing, four of your typical starters, and I think it was six of your kind of typical rotation players did not get out there.
Yeah.
And so your starting lineup it consisted of Jalen Green, but then you also had Reed Shepard, and you had who else did you have starting? Of course, I was about to say Jason Tate, but I don't think Jason Tate started. But regardless, it was you got out there with the guys that are frequently referred to as the Stay Ready crew, and they do a great job of staying ready. Whenever you ask them to step in, they do a good job, as evidenced by what they did last night against a Los Angeles Clippers team that has been playing really good basketball of late. They look like they a real foe to be concerned with when it comes to the playoffs. And the Rockets competed for a good amount of the game. They were only down six early on in the fourth quarter. They were down 11 with 3 minutes to go. Ultimately, they fall to the Clippers, as to be expected when you're not playing, I mean, most of the top of your roster. But was that competition that this Stay Ready crew had put up, is that meaningful or was it just fun? Because it was definitely fun to see them play with Kawhi Leonard and James Harden and compete with Ivica Zubac on the block. Shout out to Jock Landale doing that. Like, did you find meaning within it, or was it just kind of a fun time?
I think it was both, wasn't it? Because we talked about this yesterday, and my stance was, you know, I want to play them as especially a young team that is really just sort of, you know, finding its groove a little bit, its roles, however you want to put it. Locking in and playing a style that can win against any team, as was made evident in their games before this one, against quality competition. So I was in the group of, yeah, let's just keep them going, even if it doesn't have to be a lot of minutes, keep them going. But so he clearly didn't do that.
Nope. Tari Eason, Cam Whitmore, Jock Landale, Jalen Green, Reed Shepard, your starting five, with significant minutes coming from Uncle Jeff Green, Jason Tate, and Folly Dante, a fun player, and then Aaron Holiday, obviously getting a lot of minutes as well.
But I still think there was value in not playing these guys and playing these other ones, particularly with Reed Shepard. Watching Reed Shepard last night, you really get the sense of they have big plans for him in the postseason. They're counting on him to play more significant minutes, more important.
You think so?
Minutes. I do. Maybe not a lot, but significant minutes here and there. You know, he's shooting 53% from 3-point range since the All-Star break in 10 games that he's played. I think they see some value in maybe bringing him in, finding that shooter in certain situations. Not a lot of minutes, but I think they're going to value and increase his role. So that's one thing right there. The other thing is, I think Jalen Green probably asked to play. You know, say, hey, I'm good, I want to go.
Yeah, I mean, he plays consistently. Yeah. I think he has the second or third highest active games played streak.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's part of, like, his mentality, which I don't know that we give him enough credit for. Mm-hmm. Like, he does not come to your brain as, oh, that's tough guy. But he is constantly, like, and you know this, covering the league and covering sports for as long as you do, like, ain't no sport where you play all the way through and you're consistently there where you're not picking up nicks and bruises and things that you easily could want to get some rest for. Like, there's a toughness within him that I don't think he's given credit for.
Well, I'll put it this way. If he finishes the season, starts the next two games, he'll be the first Rocket to play all 82 games and start all 82 games since Luis Scola in 2010.
I used to love Luis Scola.
In 2010. So that's
big old Argentinian. I love him.
And I think that's part of the reason that he wanted to go. He wants to play all 82. So that's good. He's going to stay sharp. He's going to be able to be that guy. So,
but even then, they only played in 15 minutes and let him sit his keister down.
Right. So I think, you know, I want to go. And that's kind of the path I was going. Get him in there. Get him going. keep them doing what they're doing. And I think now he's going to play the next two because he wants to get that 82.
Yeah, I think if you find value within this, I think the biggest thing, the Reed Sheppard thing, but I don't think that I viewed this for this immediate postseason.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I got there is, I mean, Ime had in the past been very comfortable playing very deep, playing 10-man mm-hmm. rotations in a single game, maybe sometimes getting to 11 in a single game. He's tightened that up, which, I mean, as is kind of the MO for teams in the NBA, once you get closer to the playoffs, you start tightening this up to maybe a 9-man, 8-man rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Some teams even get into the playoffs and they go real sparse to 7-man rotation where you're playing your best players more often than not because that's what you want, right? You get mm-hmm. to that time, you want to play your best players consistently. Reed Sheppard has been on the outside of that.
Yes.
And it's just been like, you know, maybe cleanup time or instances where you're just kind of like opening this thing up because of the competition that you're playing against. I don't know that they have designs for him in the playoffs. I think they have designs for how do we find a way to integrate him, especially if we do the consolidation thing mm-hmm. and bring in a talent like Kevin Durant, where we're sending out some of these other guys that have been on the periphery of this rotation, and now you need to fill it back in and bring in the shooter that Reed Sheppard was drafted to be and is developing into even stronger.
Yeah, but what's one of the things that they have, they've been erratic with, and that's knocking down those threes.
They have, but I was
better thinking, lately.
Better lately, and yeah. One of the things that I think is better lately to tie so many of these disparate threads back together, I think Jalen Green can be given a lot of credit for some of this.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say that, Jalen Green, and I mean the entire offense in general, but Jalen Green in particular, because as he's gotten better as a playmaker over the last month or two, I think that has drawn defenses in, that's created kick, mm-hmm. driving kick opportunities, which I think in the NBA is the best way to not get 3-point shots mm-hmm. off. And then on top of that, you get the driving kick, and this team has gotten a lot better at one thing that used to drive me insane earlier on in the season, which was you get the ball, if it's not immediately going up,
mm-hmm.
swing that ball.
Yeah.
And they've done a lot better job of moving the ball quickly and getting open opportunities for these guys. And I think that's been a big reason why they've knocked down shots better with the guys that they play consistently, as opposed to having, let's bring in a guy who is just here to shoot, who also, with all due respect to Reed, you even still saw him in this game, he can be attacked. He could still be attacked. And I think when I go to the playoffs, I often think of the playoffs less about what you can do and what you can't do. And more, when I say what you can't do, it's the places where you are weak, where teams are going to pick at and attack. I don't know that you feel comfortable putting Reed on the floor right now in the playoffs.
I think they have plans. I think they're kicking the tires. Did you see the shot he made on Kawhi in the corner?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, that's Kawhi Leonard.
No.
That's Kawhi.
Agreed.
That's Kawhi Leonard.
Strong agree.
I think there's going to be a moment. And again, I'm not talking about 25 minutes. But, you know, we need some scoring. We need a shot. We need someone who's unafraid to put it up there. And, again, 53% from three-point range.
But do you see Ime doing something like that? Because Ime he's kind of that old-school hard coach.
Yes, he is. But I could absolutely see him doing that.
If you ain't playing defense, you ain't playing.
Sure.
I could see him doing that. I'm not, again.
Especially in the playoffs.
The rotations are going to be tighter, but the adjustments from game to game are going to be significant.
And I think I think Reed ends up being like a really specialized tool where
that's exactly what I'm saying.
I think that he was probably in that place before this game, mm-hmm. but I think I agree with you in that respect of, all right, if we're in late in the game and we're going offense for defense or defense for offense, mm-hmm. making those substitutions by times down the court, maybe you bring in Reed because you feel comfortable with him immediately getting a shot up. But I still enjoyed that game greatly. Everything I saw, I think, was more meaningful for next year. Mm-hmm. Guys like Nfali Dante, a dude who is like kind of low on the depth chart, but you bring him in and you see like the immediate impact and the talent that he brings. And then obviously a Reed Sheppard. And I think also there's value in the future for, I don't think that anybody was sold on Cam Whitmore in the offense mm-hmm. that he has, but I don't know that he has a future with this roster, but I think that he continues to make impressive showings for potential suitors who might want to employ his services in the future.
No doubt.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. It was technically a loss, but the Rockets still in a good place. A win of a day because mm-hmm. the Suns lose again. And
how about the Warriors?
The Warriors. Ooh. That was such a weird loss that puts them in that seventh seed now.
Yeah.
So if the season were to end today, which it doesn't, there's still a couple more games for everybody in the league. They would be the ones that would be mm-hmm. playing against the Grizzlies for the right to play against the Rockets in the first round. So that one gets interesting because mm-hmm. I don't remember how you felt about the Warriors and how they match up. Did you like that matchup for the Rockets?
I'm a little bit nervous about it just because of what they have in terms of experience and such. But no, I wouldn't mind playing them.
Do you think the Warriors trying to lose on purpose?
Hell no.
Get the Rockets.
And when Harrison Barnes knocked down that shot?
He think he Kobe out here knocking down the shot.
Yeah.
Or Black Falcon, as he likes to call himself. Mm-hmm. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day in honor of the Masters. What's an event that you have no business enjoying but still do? 713-572-4610. We'll discuss that next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Jaquan? For real?
This ain't no Jaquan.
Oh, no,
man.
This is
grinding,
sorry.
Man.
Grinding. I went to Jaquan for some reason, which I love grinding as well. I don't know why I went there.
I could have told you it wasn't Jaquan.
Yeah, I know you could have. Everybody knows that you're huge back. Into Pharrell and the Neptune.
Yeah, we back in the lunchroom right now.
That's right. You got my pens on the table and everything. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Let's get into the question of the day. It is the first day of the Masters. First round is already going on. We already saw, Bernhard Langer?
Bernhard Langer on the leaderboard. 67 years old.
Yeah, probably his final Masters. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of thing that more people than probably should like tap in on, because the Masters is an event outside of just golf lovers. Everybody seems to rock with it. So
I got
to
watch that.
In honor of that, what's an event that you have no real business enjoying but still do? 713-572-4610. Because, I mean, like I said, the Masters is one of those. I mean, I know like folks maybe that don't watch movies will watch the Academy Awards, stuff like that.
Lately, that is. I used to watch a lot of movies and love the Academy. Now I watch it, I'm like, oh, I didn't see that, and that.
I use it kind of almost like a backstop. I try and watch some movies that I know are getting some love, and then if there's something that I'm like, oh, that's getting a lot of love, I wonder what, you know, one of the, what's that about? I might need to go check that out when it comes to the Academy Awards. But with the Masters, obviously, you know, there's some guys that you want to watch for, especially if you're in that space. The obvious ones, Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy. You were mentioning Colin Morikawa, who is, you know, constantly wraps up top 10 finishes, doesn't often like win, only one win since 2021, so he's up there. John Rahm, who, you know, I think, what did he win it, a couple years ago?
Yeah, I think 2 or 3 years ago.
Some of the, you know, usual suspects, Bryson DeChambeau, great driver of the golf ball, and he's actually a good touch point for something that has been very interesting, and that's kind of a news point that I don't know how many people know of with this Masters. This Masters is going to be the debut, or is the debut at this point as they've started, of a rolled back golf ball. There's golf ball rollback that that is happening with the PGA and the USGA. And what that is they basically made the ball less aerodynamic and less distance inclined, which is kind of wild. You think of golf especially, but all these sports, I mean, we see with the torpedo back, using taking all of their, you know, equipment and using it to improve performance. But this is one of the places, maybe akin to the way the baseball will sometimes seemingly, even though they won't admit to it, nerf the baseballs. Like, this is them. And basically what they're doing is they're trying to respond directly to the likes of Bryson DeChambeau and a lot of these big swing golfers who are basically just out hitting these courses, especially somewhere like the Masters that's not a crazy long, you know, drive it long course.
Well, it is if you can, because it's a little more wide open on some of the fairways, but the I think the impetus behind this is, number one, competition. You know, it makes it a little more level playing field for everyone, kind of like what they were doing in baseball in some circles. The other thing, and I think a lot of golf people will tell you this, they don't want to have to keep redesigning courses.
Yeah.
Because remember when they tiger-proofed Augusta?
And then lefties were like, oh, it's time to shine.
Yeah.
Because we made it so tiger-proof for all the righties.
Yeah, that's,
I bet all the
millions.
Righties were looking at Tiger like, what the hell are you doing,
that's
dog?
Millions and millions and millions of dollars to read like a course like that.
And especially if dudes are bombing it, the way that you bomb-proof it is making it even longer.
Right.
And that's going and acquiring land and stuff. Like, these courses can't afford to do that necessarily. And when I say afford, it's not necessarily even the money.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, are you sure that there's land nearby that you can that you can get in order to lengthen your entirety of your 18 there? So I think it's an interesting thing, but there's a lot of players that aren't down with it. We'll see if that like does affect some of the bombers that have like Bryson DeChambeau, or what effect that has. So I think that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. But yeah, the Masters, clearly one of those. You said the Academy Awards is another one of these events. What's in another event for you?
Hockey.
Is it really?
Yeah, playoff hockey. I'll get into it. I shouldn't even say playoff hockey. The Stanley Cup. not even the playoff.
Oh, you don't even tap in until the Stanley
I'm
Cup?
Like, hey, now. Here we go.
You one of the people that tap in during the Super Bowl.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I got the Chiefs.
Exactly. Let me tell you all you need to know about this hockey team right here. For sure. And then curling. You know,
oh yeah, Olympic sports.
Everybody, it could be any number. Somebody texted in gymnastics.
100%.
I like gymnastics, so it's not wouldn't necessarily fall into that category. But curling, I'm like, oh man, he should have put a little more left English on that.
That's
one.
Right. I love the Olympics because you find yourself for a nice 3-week stretch out here talking like you're an expert on something you have no idea about.
Exactly.
Like I would have put it over here personally. Yeah. I just can't understand what you were doing there. Like clearly, this is where you needed to try and go for your shot there.
Yeah.
Or gymnastics as well, as you were mentioning, where it's like, oh man, that was too tough a routine. I would have gone with something a lot simpler.
Figure, do you have any? Because I think a texter just said one that might be yours.
Really? Okay. Is it tennis?
No, he said Army-Navy.
Army-Navy? That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's
well, you're typically in on tennis, though.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I wasn't going to... That wasn't on my list.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But the ones I kind of think about... This is a little nerdy, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know how the video games had these different conventions or...
Okay.
Or, like, premieres where they show you what games are coming next? Like, I kind of be into that type of stuff.
Really?
Like, I would tap into that just to kind of see the different new games that's coming out. And then the other one, this is really, and not to offend anybody because I'm kind of part of it too, but when Marvel always do that little event where they announce different movies coming in 2036.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
That one gets you?
Yeah, that one get me. Like, I'm not really into that part until it happens, but... They be sitting here like, oh, Wolverine versus Superman, 2055. And I'll be sitting there, and all they do is put a graphic up. I'll be like, ooh,
I'm in
on this one. But I would tap in with that.
You know what it is for me? And this one is really funny because I've tried so hard. It's cricket.
Cricket. Ooh.
Cricket is, for some reason, if it's on TV, I'll watch it just out of pure curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, I've gone through rule books. The rules still elude me to this day. Like I got
for a day.
I got the basics. Yeah, when they get to test cricket, it's real crazy. They be in there 3 days playing cricket on the same game, and I'm still like, all right, so he's up to bat. Wait, but what's happening right now? Wait, that's the over? What's the over again? You could catch me sitting there for hours watching cricket, not knowing what the hell I'm watching, but every time, still there.
The other one, like sometimes TV, as we all know, kind of conditions you to start liking something and watching something.
100%.
Pickleball.
You can't get me there.
Like when they have pickleball on there, I'm like, ooh, let's see. Let's see what's happening here.
The one that got me, and we usually see this whenever we leave it on Space City Network or whatever, but that Extreme Tag or whatever is.
Yeah.
That one get me. I'll be like, man, let me see if he going to get caught.
And then you go, oh.
Like, ooh.
Oh, good cut. Oh, he juked him.
Yeah,
he left him.
Oh, yeah, he out of there. He out of there.
Which, this is another one that's in that same place. Hialeah is one of those for sure. The problem for me is I just watch it and I'm like, oh, look at all the corruption that's got to be.
Oh,
like,
so
I just
fixed.
Think about the ways
it is so fixed.
In which it is crazy. From the 832, how has no one said World Cup? So many casuals all of a sudden are soccer fans. And then rodeo. Rodeo is a great answer.
Rodeo is a great answer.
Because I do not be following no PBR. And what's funny is I was sitting in NRG hearing them talk about, like, you know, the people and like their records, and I was like, oh yeah he's probably gonna kill, and I'm like, you don't know.
They have a great announcer at NRG, the actual rodeo announcer. He's awesome. I wish I could give his name, I don't know it, but he like explains everything. Like the one that gets me at the rodeo is the barrel racing, the women.
Oh yeah,
dude, that
get out here
badass.
With this clover. Yeah man, that one's crazy. Yeah.
No, it's funny, me and Sean last time we went to the rodeo, we were grading people on their last names. I'm like, oh, he was born to ride some bull.
Yeah. Oh, World Series of Poker. Every year. Every year.
I can't get into it.
Every year I watch that.
I think part of it is because I don't know how to play poker. But I can't get into it.
I feel like, all right, I'm starting to sense a little bit of a theme. Because some of these is just like, you know, the big, having a big event. Because on the Twitch, Daytona 500, 409 said WrestleMania, which is interesting.
That's a good one for me.
That's now like a pay-per-view event. So like that's not even really, you just kind of, well, I guess that's probably always been a pay-per-view.
Yeah, it used to be a pay-per-view. You had to actually buy it, but now it's just on the streaming service.
That's true.
Where it's easy to access. So that's why I tap in a little more now.
That's interesting.
Because I don't really watch wrestling anymore, but whenever it's on, I'm like, oh, let me see what's going on.
And God bless you, because I feel like the 281 here, you probably got to be some level of soccer, so I'm not sure if this actually feels, but I know that they put it on CBS, big CBS, so maybe Champions League.
Yeah, well, that's the one that I watch all the time anyway.
Yeah, for me, that's why I was like, if you're a soccer fan, you're probably already in, but I'm wondering how many non-soccer fans are just flipping through on like a Wednesday after, like in the middle of the day, and they're like, well, there's sports on at 2 p.m. and it's Champions League, so I'll watch
I'm
it.
Watching.
Like, I wonder how many people get to that place. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Bassmasters?
I'm a saltwater guy, man. I'm a saltwater guy. I don't get into that.
See? Yeah.
Do you watch anything fishing?
I watch like the Redfish Cup or the Redfish World Championship.
You could have made that up. I have no idea. And then, this one reminds me of one for me. I drone racing for some reason.
I've never checked in on that.
Especially during COVID when there wasn't a lot of sports.
Sounds drone very racing interesting, league, actually.
It caught my attention. But then somebody said, I shouldn't enjoy it, but Warehouse Games Blitzball League. They've made a cool production there. Okay.
What about the Puppy Bowl?
Puppy Bowl.
Oh, every year.
That's one of those. Yeah. Someone said the event where they just have the dog run off the end and just jump and catch something. That's fun. Yeah. Cornhole comes in. Formula One. All right.
Westminster.
Yeah, you can't get me on.
Yeah,
that.
Westminster.
Sorry.
I watch.
Maybe like, I'm not enough of a dog person. I'll just be like, all right, so what are we doing?
The Cocker Spaniel should have won.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, let's.
Yeah, I'll be like, man, here. That one look fancy. That's a fancy looking dog.
Right. It's like, all right,
that dog eat real food.
That's right. You know, that's dog right. Food.
All right, he's filet mignon.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL. And let's hear a legendary, or maybe legendary is too much, but a very, very good NFL head coach bang on one of our division mates. We'll do that next. But real quick, guys, I feel like I want you to know this, especially if you have a high schooler, if you're in high school, the name to know is Suit Mart. Prom season's here, and you want to suit up with style with Suit Mart so that you can get prom ready at your prom headquarters. You can get a complete tuxedo package for just $159.99, or you can choose from the fashion tuxedo collection that they got for you. So, you know, they also have an expert sales team that'll make sure that you have the perfect fit with on-site alterations. So you got to have the right fit, looking good, ready to go to prom. And if you want that, if you want that style, that fit, that value, you want to make sure you go to Suit Mart.